Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ow, got chest pain. I took a deep breath and it hurt. I'm so
you don't
fragile.
Know, you don't know the effort Sam puts into that little whisper intro. He does.
It's like I have to like hyperventilate to get like my blood oxygenated, yeah. Like really like high. It's like what people do when they do deep dives.
Yeah. Don't. What we're trying to say is don't try it at home. There's a vein in his head. He's all red faced. They're drenched in sweat.
Ooh, blood's pouring out of him. Guys. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your moist little ears into. Welcome back. You made it.
I feel like we do this a lot now.
What?
With the Patreon and the bonus episodes. Yeah. And then we've been like doubling down on some of the bonus episodes recently.
We've been, guys, get ready because we have a bunch of really awesome, actually like we have some awesome interviews, episodes coming out for the Patreon. And it's some of the most genuine conversation I've had in, I feel like, a long time, at least with people I don't know too much. And I don't want to spoil it yet, but maybe we have a few actors or nerdy people in the nerd realm.
Yeah, that's going to be coming up real soon because now we've done the superhero shows. If you've been like, hey, what are your thoughts on the finales? Right here on bonus episode, we had Jason Inman on. So go to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. We're going to touch on the Flash finale a little bit later in the episode. No, not right now.
Not too much, because we want to make sure the Patreon stays special. But anyways, let's do some business up front before we get into the good stuff. You can find all the information about this podcast at onlystupidanswers.com. You can find all of our social, which includes our Twitter. It's Only Stupid Answers.
Take out the vowels from stupid.
There you go. Also, our Reddit, reddit.com/r/onlystupidanswers. What are we? Oh, Facebook and Instagram at onlystupidanswers.
And then if you were like, hey, even though you're listening to it, you're like, hey, what are other places I can listen to it? Onlystupidanswers.com has all of that information. Everything. Spotify, Stitcher, all that jazz.
iTunes. And we really like iTunes because people rate and review us there. 5 stars. Yes. We love it when they do that. And we like to read a few of those reviews at the top of each episode. My nose is itchy as fuck.
Well, while you're scratching, I'm going to read the first iTunes review that we have here today. Your nose is itchy. His ears are soaked. He says, my ears are soaked. Maddie C, boy. These fantastical boys keep filling my ears with their goopy nerd knowledge and make me giggle on my drive to high school. And yes, I get weird looks for it. Hey, look at you driving into high school.
Look at you. Listen, get your goofy info right before you go into school. All right, we got another one here from Josh12646. Best podcast I can get my hands on. It's get your ears. I don't need to correct me. Sorry. He said, I recommend this podcast to all my friends who are into comics. 10/10, heckin' great. And I'm glad. I love that you censored heckin'.
And I'd like to clarify, I said Maddie C was a boy because they say boy in their thing, but I don't know that that's the case. Maddie, we appreciate
it's
you.
It's a boy.
And right? Yeah. And Josh, we also appreciate you.
And we appreciate all you moist little ears out there.
Yes.
I think, DJ, a few episodes back, we finally picked a name for the people that listen to this.
Yes.
They're the moist little ears.
They're the moist little ears, and we're the boy people.
We're the boy people. Also, Audio Boom, the beautiful people over at Audio Boom that help us out with ads and such and distribution. They like to tweet out a podcast every once in a while, and they said, oh, check out the boy people, DJ and Sam, and it's like, I love you, Audio Boom. Thank you for thank you for getting in on the joke. I'm pretty sure you just read an old tweet.
And they're like, okay, so this is what they're doing now. Got it.
All right. Top of the episode, we want to talk about this week.
Yes.
And this is a fun segment because we actually get to hear from you guys, because I go to reddit.com/r/onlystupidanswers. You guys make an awesome thread, and usually we read this at the end of the episode, or our reviews go crazy and we sometimes don't have time to get to it. But we want to hop back into talking about this. Also, spoiler warning, this episode we're trying something new, but we'll get to it soon.
Yeah, I'm excited about
we'll
that.
Get to
we're going to get to it soon. So
DJ, what are you into?
What am I into? I feel like I didn't get to do a lot of things this
fucking week disappeared.
Yeah, it just vanished. The finales, the superhero finales were pretty much across the board solid.
Yeah.
So check out our bonus episode for that. Better Call Saul has been amazing. So good. It's just, I'm starting to wonder, and I feel like I'm going to get shit for this. I might overall enjoy it more than Breaking Bad. Like, it might have, like, swung me over to... Because there are parts of it that I think it does legitimately better. Mm-hmm. But it's been a while since I've seen Breaking Bad.
Maybe rewatch it before, like, the next season or at the end of the season.
Yeah,
or something.
I've been wanting to go back and rewatch because, I mean, why not? It's a great show.
It is.
What else? iZombie. We don't talk about iZombie. iZombie's been really great this season. It's not surprising anybody.
No, you love it.
Yeah, it's a really great show. And then I finally watched last week's Doctor Who.
Oh, you did? What'd you think?
Yeah, with Veritas, right?
Veritas. I really
liked it.
And also, without getting into spoilers for that show, if people are like have a while to catch up, there's the scene with Bill and Nardal.
Nardal, I like his function within this group.
Yeah, he's not a companion. He's more just like, he's there to kind of just make shit move forward. Yeah. And it's just, I love it. And I like, he has this one line where he makes himself sound like a badass.
Yeah.
And Matt Lucas is such a good actor and a comedian that I loved it. Also, they deal with this really big idea where I'm like, are we about to, like, fucking break this show right now?
The twist ending and the way they resolve it. The twist was fine. Mm-hmm. The way they resolve the twist within the plot was amazing.
Yes.
Was so interesting. And then a character return that's one of my favorite characters on the show. Mm-hmm. And I liked that. Anything involving that. And since you said no spoilers, the part I really want to talk about, we can't talk about. We'll talk about it off there.
You can talk about it really quick. What do you want
really
to say?
Quick. So spoilers for those that have not caught up, come back in a couple minutes. Missy's back. Mm-hmm. And that whole scene where he's supposed to execute her and the whole setup of this race that's just all about killing people, I guess.
Yeah, it's like an art.
It reminded me, because we know we're getting John Sim back as a version of the Master, and it's like, I prefer Missy to John Sim's the Master. I don't really, and it's not him. He's great. The stories around his version of the Master weren't my favorites.
Are so wacky.
Yeah, they're kind of, wacky's a good version of it. And I like, Missy captures more about what I liked about the Master growing up. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those, like, maybe we could just stay Missy.
I'm excited to see both of them, because I think that's a new thing.
I am hoping they are together. Like, we get a Master team up.
Oh, no,
like,
we definitely gonna.
And I like I like that they committed to that is the Master in there. Uh-huh. And also, but again, since we're in spoilers, the reveal that this whole episode took place in a simulation, and that even in the simulation, the Doctor's like, aha, I'm going to save the day by letting the real Doctor know. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, it is.
That's perfect.
And also, like, just the number bit where I was like, oh, what the fuck is happening right now? I think it was a very fun idea. It was very Moffat. It was like a big, heady idea.
You know what? Every time we talk to a hardcore doctor, we just met one on a shoot we were on, hardcore Doctor Who fan, they always shit on Moffat's run, and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, again, Matt Smith season 2.
The one where, like, time breaks at the end of it. Right?
Yeah, and then we start getting, like, River Song as Amy's River Song's mom and all that stuff. Like, okay, that maybe not. But, like, all of Capaldi's run, I think, is uniformly great. I loved his first season.
Season two, I really liked, and then
season one of the 11th Doctor, Moffat's first season, I pretty much love all of it. Mm-hmm. And also think that's a great way to set up I thought they were going to resolve at the end of the episode, but it seems like it's going to be the setup for the finale.
You need
and
a two parter every season,
but I think that's a great. It looks like it's a way to set up the big bad of the season. Mm. All for it.
Very cool. I really enjoyed Doctor Who as well. I think I'm going to start rewatching Orphan Black. That's the stuff I'm into this week. Tatiana Maslany popped up on Parks and Rec, and my family watched Parks and Rec.
Uh-huh.
And I was visiting, and then I was like, oh, you don't know. I'm like in love with her. And then, like, because she's amazing on Orphan Black. And they're like, oh, yeah, we need to watch that show. It means that no one's going to watch
it. No.
You got to learn these things, kids. Yeah. When you recommend stuff and people say that, they're not going to watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, I have to show you at least the first episode because it's one of the craziest pilots ever. There's so much shit that happens. And I watched it again and I'm like, I forgot everything that happens in this. Like, the switch that they do with Beth and Sarah. And I'm like, I forgot how much I love Felix. And
he is great, and it is tough because he was. And I think that was one of my biggest problems with season 4 is they sidelined Felix and the Russian Helena. They're my favorites.
Yeah.
They're my favorites.
And also, I forgot how much I love Vic, who I heard was in Better Call Saul. He was the boyfriend.
The boyfriend, yeah. He plays Nacho in Better Call Saul, and he's great.
He's so
funny. And he's
getting
big stuff to do in Better Call Saul.
Very cool. He's an amazing actor. But in terms of comics, I've been reading, I picked up. Christopher Priest's Volume 1 of Deathstroke.
Uh-huh.
Wow, it's real good. Like,
yeah, Christopher Priest is one of the greats.
And he picks a bunch of weird characters to, like, play around with Deathstroke. Like, he takes Clock King with clock powers, and, like, nice. And he wears a suit that's just all clocks, and it's like, and it's classic. Not like a suit, it's just like a, it's like a onesie with clocks printed on it, and it's nice. Like, I really like this, and, like, it's just really cool, and there's, like, a whole, like, government conspiracy with, like a war that's happening in Africa, and it's like, it's pretty in depth, and you also get a view of how much of a piece of shit Slade Wilson is, like,
yeah.
to his, like, kids and to his wife, and you're like, I don't like you, like, I don't like you, but man, this story is so well made that I'm excited to, like, get more into it.
That's cool.
Let me see. Did anything else big happen?
Are you kind of catching up that because of the crossover that's happening between the Titans books?
Yes, I read because that crossover is kind of all over the place.
Is it?
Yeah, the Deathstroke issue was the best one because I picked that one up because mm-hmm. I need the full story.
Yeah,
and then I just love the way the layout of the book is because he kind of breaks them up into chunks, and I love there's chapters within book and within each issue.
Cool.
And there's one that was labeled Whelans. It was Whelon. And I was like, what the hell's a Whelan? And it usually refers to something that's going to happen in that little chapter. Mm-hmm. It's a guy with an accent saying, oh, we're the Whelans. We're the villains. And it's nice. Like, and it's like, oh, that's really cool. Also, I read Venom, and it was a kind of a fun issue. Let me see. Anything else that was really big? No. No, that's boring. That's boring as fuck. anything else?
You're like, why did I read that? That's real bad.
That's real bad. Really like Batman Beyond. I really like dealing with the League of Assassins and Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
And there's a chance this Ra's is somebody else.
And then what was the name? They introduced a League of Assassins character in the cartoon.
Kurari?
Yeah.
Kurari.
Is she part of it?
Cool. Yeah. She was the one who, like, got his attention. And also, he has this suit that's like, it's like a new suit. Like, you can see, I'll show you the cover really quick.
Yeah, down there.
And it's like a prototype that Bruce made that he didn't realize there's an AI inside of it that the directive is to win. And it will make you win no matter what, even if you're like, your bones are breaking and like you like technically like you shouldn't actually be breathing. The suit will make you keep going. And it will,
that's scary.
It turns off your pain receptors so you can't tell that like you're actually in a lot of pain. So like he said, he took on the, Bruce told a story where he took on a family of Banes, and he like that they're not around anymore. Maybe they'll come up in later issues. And like three of his vertebrae were broken, most of his ribs were broken, his ankle was broken, but the suit kept going, and he didn't know. And then finally, when he got home, the only way he got the suit off was because there was a tear in it, so he ripped it off from there. But he's like, no, that's when I stopped being Batman because I couldn't anymore. I physically couldn't go anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's not as cool as why he stops him though. Cartoon.
Probably. Yeah. But maybe there's another reason, but I really like it. Also, I'm trying out my Comixology Unlimited because you guys asked me about it. So I got Mighty Thor from All New, All Different, Volume 1. God, that's a good book. Like, I know it got nominated for some stuff.
Yeah.
It's really well written.
Cool.
It's also very violent. And My Life Has a Weapon of Hawkeye, and I have Batman Incorporated. Or Batman.
Ooh,
wait,
yeah.
Grant Morrison, this is what it's called, right? When he goes around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I read the Japan. He made the Japan.
Yep.
Batman, and he's gonna go to Argentina,
which is fun because he incorporates the villain in that. Is it Mr. Death?
Lord Death Man.
That's part of the Batman manga that was in Japan, so that's a
cool, that's awesome. So that's what I've been into, but also we like to read what you guys have been into.
What are they into, Sam?
All right, so I have Bo's Perkovic. I think I've read from you before. Read Injustice again. Over 2-3 hour flights. If anyone hasn't read the Injustice comics, do yourself a favor and get them. Great world building and storytelling all around. Year 3 is my favorite. It's magic. You get Constantine and Batman teaming up to take on Superman.
Cool.
You get spoilers, but there's a scene where you get Jason Blood for a second, and then he gets obliterated by the Spectre. It's like, ooh. And also, you get one of the best jokes where Constantine needs the best detective in the world, so who does he go to in the DC world?
Detective Chimp.
Yes, he does, and he gets him, and then he's Chaz. Is that his driver?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's Constantine's driver. Yeah,
so they're in the taxi, and Constantine and Chaz are sitting in the front, and Constantine like leans over to Chaz, and he says, look in the back seat, and Batman and Detective Chimperson next to each other, and they start laughing at him because it looks so fucking stupid.
Yeah,
it's such good writing. It's in year three, and I
Tom Taylor, he's a boss.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what else we got here. Robert _ Sun. I just got the first volume of Paper Girls from my local comic book shop. I just discovered the game Path of Exile, which is like the spiritual successor to Diablo 2. Cool. And also, I'll probably go see King Arthur sometime this week.
I might as well.
And Miss Ander Fulcrum commented to that, King Arthur is so much fun. Go see for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we didn't go see King Arthur.
You know, I'm okay with it now because we dodged a bullet. We almost saw Baywatch for this episode. And then we had a better idea.
We did. Yeah. We're about to get to it. Yeah. But I think we want to talk about one quick thing.
Quick.
You know what I love to do?
What do you love to do?
Thank you. I love to. I love to shave, and I love to. I actually really
No. You don't love to shave. You love specifically to shave with Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah. I do because it's so. I did it this week, by the way. I used their what do they call it? Their Dr. Carver's shave butter.
Yes,
and it's so good because it smells so good, and it's like this like minty. You rub it on your face, and you can see where all the little hairs are. You're like, ooh, I just need to get those. And then you're good to go.
Yeah.
And their razors are so smooth. But anyways, we want to talk about, for just a second, we want to talk about our friends over at Dollar Shave Club. You can get Dollar Shave Club at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. This is a delivery system of razors and shave butter right to your door on a monthly basis. And you're going to be saving some major coin.
Yeah.
If you sign up with us. It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep to the store to buy cheap disposable razors that give you a cheap shave or spend
a
fortune.
Hassle.
It is. And I've had to do that in emergencies where you buy the one razor blade and you're like, this is mainly just plastic and this really hurts. Or you can, you know, spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech that you don't need because you don't need all those like weird balls and like angles that you need. Just get a quality razor. That's
exactly all
you need. And you can use our Dollar Shave Club executive razor with their Dr. Carver's shea butter. The blade just gently glides, giving such a smooth shave.
So for a limited time, new members get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's shea butter for only $5 with free shipping.
Wait, you said $5 with free shipping?
Uh-huh. And after that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5.
Mm-hmm.
In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their shea butter, which Sam has already said is amazing.
It's amazing. Smells so good.
And there are no hidden fees and no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. You can only get this offer exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/stupid. We love it.
We love it. Really quick, though, after your first month, replacement cartridges just ship automatically at a regular price. And if you ever want to just like stop this, you can. It's easy. Yeah. They're very intuitive and they're responsive and they're an awesome brand. And I love them.
They love you. You're going to love them.
We love them. Really quick, one more time, let's say that link for the kids at home.
He's dollarshaveclub.com/stupid.
One more time for fun.
DollarShaveClub.com/stupid. You're just trying to sneak in the musical cues.
I'm trying. We're going to turn into a little duo. Very cool. All right. DJ.
Yes.
We were talking and we were like, we want to try out some new stuff.
So I've been playing around with the idea of we watch movies, right?
What?
And I look at them. I'm like, hey, what would happen if you changed this one element? Like, or just changed a couple elements.
What if you did change everything?
Exactly. What if you changed a few things? And I was talking to you about it, and you really dug the idea. Mm-hmm. And then you brought up, I wanted to talk about Batman v Superman, and you brought up we could speculate about Flash season 4.
And maybe play around with season 3 changes if we
wanted to. If we wanted to as well. So we're going to try a what if. Like, remember those old what if comics of like, hey, what if the Venom, Spider-Man kept the Venom symbiote? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. What if Wolverine killed all the X-Men, you know?
The fun ones.
The fun ones, exactly. Those were fun options. What if Conan the Barbarian came to present day?
Mm-hmm. Let's call this segment What If.
What If.
With the boy people.
With the boy people. There it is. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about alternate scenarios for Batman v Superman.
Because you have a really good pitch, so I just want people to get an idea of like, this is what we're getting into. These are the fun ideas we're going to play around
with. And then we're going to play around with Flash. Talk about Flash some, because we all want to talk about Flash, because we all, what the hell are they going to do for season 4?
Ooh,
anyway.
Not a damn clue. But also, guys, just know right off the bat, we're not film writers. We're not good. We're not.
Well, I mean.
We want to be. But we're not, as of right now, we're not. not like we're playing around with fun ideas.
Exactly. So this is not us, especially with Batman v Superman. Mm-hmm. I know some people gave that a lot of heat. I actually, especially rewatching the director's edition, I enjoy it probably more than most people. so it's not us saying like we can do it better. That's not what this is.
No. It's more of just like, do you think this could have gone smoother and had opened the door to a lot more opportunities if we did it this way? Maybe.
Or also just how would it have changed if you changed elements? How would it have changed? Because that's the interesting thing about, like, when I'm trying to write something and I'm writing a treatment, it's funny how one small change cascades and changes a lot.
Mm-hmm. Tell us your little changes to Batman v Superman, because last night when I was getting into my car, was that two nights ago? God damn it, yeah. These days are blending together. you told me your pitch, and I was like, oh, shit, I really like that.
Well, I had a couple ideas, mm-hmm. and because I had one that was pretty close to the movie, and then one that would change a lot of it. Mm. The one that's pretty close to the movie is I was wondering what if instead of Doomsday, mm-hmm. what if Lex Luthor took the guy in the wheelchair, Scoot McNairy, mm-hmm. and altered him so he was actually Parasite. He was like Rudy Jones, mm-hmm. and he became Parasite. So when Superman went into the the hearing, and he goes to like shake that guy's hand and like apologize, he just sucks up all of Superman's solar energy, becomes a giant purple monster, mm-hmm. and then of course the news runs with it because they don't know what happened. They're like, hey, if Superman touches you, do you become a monster? Like, what's happening? And so instead of the explosion, he tears that up, and so Parasite keeps sucking up power, and that's kind of the final
showdown.
And that doesn't really change a lot, although it would be weird if Parasite ends up killing Superman as opposed to Doomsday.
I liked it because when you said that, it makes sense why Batman and Superman can go toe-to-toe, because usually it's like a 24-hour recharge cycle for Superman, so he can fight again. But if Bruce walked in there and wanted to take him on, you would still have some of the strength of Superman, none of the fighting.
He's drained a little bit.
Yeah.
I was also thinking, what if? For Lex Luthor, because there's a lot of like kind of heady. One of the things I appreciate about that movie is they really like swing for the rafters as far as like trying to be headier about why people do things, mm-hmm. and people debate of whether that worked or not. But I liked the intent. Mm-hmm. What if to like make it a little bit more relatable with Lex? Did you ever see Skyfall?
No.
Do you mind if I spoil a part of Skyfall?
Spoil all of Skyfall for me.
Javier Bardem is the bad guy. Yeah. And there's a scene, classic, every genre movie needs this, where you capture the bad guy, but oh wait, he has a plan. He wanted to be captured.
Of course.
But as he's explaining why he hates...
James Bond.
No, why the agency he works for. I forget what the...
MI6?
Yeah, MI6. Why he hates MI6. He, like... takes out the most of his jaw is prosthetic, so he takes it out and his face droops, and he was an agent, and he took like one of those suicide capsules, and it didn't kill him, it just melted the inside of his body, and so he was alive, uh-huh. and nobody came to help him, and so fuck him. And I was like, what if Lex is Jesse Eisenberg, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, why do you hate Superman? And he starts talking about the discovery when they discovered Superman was around, when he took on the Black Zero event.
Yeah. Oh, that's the name they called it?
Yeah, and he's like, I look fine. I didn't come out fine. And he takes out part of his jaw, and he takes off his hair, mm-hmm. and he's the bald, like weird looking Lex Luthor that we've seen in some of versions of the comics, and he's just put on a facade to look normal, and you're like, oh, you got fucked up.
Ooh, you know what? You know what'd be kind of fun if you kind of added like a cancer element to it, because obviously when buildings fall, there's like asbestos and there's a lot of other radiation. Yeah. Also, Phantom Zone, all the like the ships.
Whatever
exploding.
The hell's going. That plays into my bigger pitch, uh-huh. that we'll get to in a minute.
But like, you could have a really fun idea that like now he's dying, or he's using a lot of his money to keep himself alive. So yeah, he's bald and he's wearing this wig because it's kind of like he used to look this way. He's trying to look like even youth and more playful. And also, you can get a fun moment if you were to like lift up his shirt and you get some of like the mech suit, uh-huh. kind of like running some of his organs, like maybe something
that'd be
like
interesting.
Messed up.
And you could also make it to where part of the reason that really struck him is growing up in the environment he did, he was untouchable.
Yeah,
and so that was his moment that like, and it's kind of a similar thing to what Batman's dealing with. Like, I'm not top of the heap anymore. Like, I'm not the apex predator. Like, it's so Lex is like, I was it, mm-hmm. and now I'm not. You know what I mean? And he had to learn in a very challenging way. Like, physically, he's debilitated. You'd be pissed too.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought, another what if instead of...
Oh, also, sorry, really quick,
yeah,
before you
go for
that, it'd be really fun because It doesn't. It makes him relatable because you're like, again, he's he was untouchable, and now he's really fucked up because of Superman. But at the same time, Superman did try to do
exactly.
that. It was his first fight. He fucked up bad, and like now he tries to be better about it. Like they evacuated everyone to this weird island where there's no people there, and they fought Doomsday there. But it also just doesn't justify everything Lex does. But at the same time, he's like, I have to find your vulnerability.
I have to prove to myself that you're vulnerable.
Yeah, that I can get to you the way you got. To me.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. So here's another.
That's not the movie.
Yeah, that's not the movie. But here's another what if. Uh-huh. What if instead of flashing back at the beginning to Batman's origin, which there's not a person on the planet. You could go to a tribe deep in the Amazon that has not been exposed to other human life.
And they're watching like, Mask of Zorro.
And they're like, he goes to see a movie. His parents get shot. He becomes Batman. Yeah. They're like, you get it. So what if we flash back to when Batman was his last mission as Batman?
I think that would be better.
Robin is dead. Uh-huh. Robin was killed by Joker, but he's still trying to carry on. And what I would do is since this is all like a mixtape of like the greatest hits of Superman and Batman, you know what I mean? You got Death of Superman, you got Dark Knight Returns. Have you read Dark Knight Returns?
No, and I know I should because everyone talks about it.
It does not, in my opinion, it does not hold up as well as Watchmen does. Mm-hmm. Like Watchmen is still like,
yeah, blows your mind.
Dark Knight Returns is like, you're a little dated. but the first issue, Harvey Dent, they found a surgery to fix Harvey Dent, so his face is fine. Mm-hmm. The problem is his face becomes whole, looking good, but his psyche becomes all Two-Face, all the bad part.
That's an oops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it'd be interesting if you have that's his last mission is taking on Two-Face, and then you hire like a Matt Bomer, somebody who would in another reality play Superman.
Yeah.
So somebody that looks perfect. Should be perfect. Is somebody Bruce Wayne trusted, somebody Batman trusted that betrayed him, mm-hmm. and it goes bad, and Batman doesn't necessarily kill Two-Face, but maybe Two-Face kills himself, mm-hmm. and he fails. And so after the death of Robin, after this, he's done. He's just done. And then you flash forward to the Black Zero, and so that's why he doesn't trust Superman. This is somebody that looks perfect. This is somebody that the world trusts, but Batman no. And so when he says like, we know how much, when he's talking to Alfred, and he's like, we know how people can betray us, we know how far trust goes, we have an example, we're like, oh, like Harvey Dent betrayed him, and you're like, I get that. If you gave Harvey Dent, and like maybe in that last mission Harvey Dent kills like a dozen people, and you're like, what, you give that guy god level powers and you're asking me to trust him? Mm-hmm. I can't anymore.
You also could have used like the scenes when they go to like the mansion that's abandoned now and like, all that other stuff.
What happened
exactly. It's like, I know you're trying to make us like, you're assuming that we've seen a Batman movie before, so if the mansion's abandoned, that's not good. But kind of like, come on, man. Like, just maybe use the movie doing other things. If he lives in the mansion, that's okay. Like, it's okay if he lives there.
Well, they kind of did it in Dark Knight Rises, where he lives in the mansion, but he's kind of like a Howard Hughes, like, kept away. Nobody sees him anymore. His hair's grown out and shit. Mm-hmm. That kind of a thing.
Yeah. But you did have another pitch that I really
liked. Well, here's the one. This one complicates a lot. This changes a good chunk of the movie. Mm-hmm. What if, instead of Lex Luthor being the bad guy, it's Maxwell Lord?
Now, give a quick overview of who Maxwell Lord is.
Maxwell Lord, I want to say, was first introduced with Justice League International. He put together that team, and he was kind of like good but duplicitous. So he's a big businessman. So he put them together for like marketing reasons. He's another classic, like every millionaire in the DC universe is a good guy or bad guy. Like that's how that works. But they're involved. They've got skin in the game. They're not just like, I'm good with my money, I don't need to involve myself in this superhero shit. Mm-hmm. And so he's mostly a good guy, but not really super trustworthy. And then in Infinity Crisis, he straight up becomes a super villain. He gets psychic powers, which I don't know if he got it then,
or if he had him the whole time.
He had him, or maybe he got him at some point in Justice League International. But he kills Ted Kord's Blue Beetle.
Kill himself.
That was rough. If you've read that first Infinity Crisis one shot, that is tough. Mm-hmm. And then causes a whole bunch of shit with OMAC.
And Superman. OMAC,
that's the answer. I think I just answered my big problem with if he was the bad guy. But anyway, and he mind controls Superman and basically forces Wonder Woman to kill him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which causes a big
rift.
Yeah, rift between that. It's Countdown to Infinite Crisis. That's where he kills Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
And so taking that, and he's also a primary antagonist in Justice League versus Suicide Squad.
Yes, he is. Yeah. That's how you brought him into New 52.
Yeah. So.
Or kind of. Yeah.
So what if, mm-hmm. We're making our own What If universe, right? So we've now started the movie with Batman's last mission. Fast forward to the Black Zero event. The person he saves from the rubble, Scoot McNairy's character, gets blown up. Now is not Scoot McNairy's character. It's Max. Mm-hmm. It's just he's maybe a soldier that was, because remember the military was trying to help take down the Black Zero while Superman was doing his thing. So he's military, spine cord severed. So his legs don't work anymore. He's in a wheelchair. But him and Bruce saves him. Bruce invests money into helping him. This guy becomes a political activist. This guy is saying, hey, I don't hate Superman. I'm just seeing there needs to be oversight. And as the movie progresses, we realize like Bruce has invested a lot in him and he hangs out with him. And what we find out is due to comic book shenanigans, because of Phantom Zone power, Kryptonian shit, all that
or
stuff.
Or maybe like a medical procedure trying to get his legs back and he gets Star Labs powers.
He develops abilities. Mm-hmm. So he loses the use of his legs, but he develops these psychic abilities. And he psychically, because that's something they explored a lot in Justice League versus Suicide Squad, where he doesn't force you to do stuff. He just brings out your worst. What's the word I'm looking for? He can motivate you.
Yeah.
He kind of pushes you.
And motivates the worst part of you.
And so he takes that insecurity and Batman, and he's psychic now, and so he knows Bruce Wayne's Batman, mm-hmm. and he just keeps like poking at that insecurity psychically until Batman gets to be kind of the Batman we saw, where it's like, you're going a little over the top there, Bruce. Yeah. and so he's the one that kind of motivates the battle between Batman v Superman to get his goal. Now, what's his goal, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it'd be easy to say, like, the classic Lex Luthor, like, I hate that you're here. I hate that. But this guy lives in a world with Batman. He lives in a world with Superman. What if his thought is, like, I don't think you guys go far enough. Mm-hmm. We have this world of suffering. You could fix all of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to put myself in charge. I'm going to become king of the world, basically. And I'm going to fix everything. Classic. I'm going to do what you guys should be doing and fix everything. Like, mm-hmm. Batman, why don't you kill? If you killed, Joker wouldn't have done all this stuff. Like, Superman, if you murdered Zod earlier, and maybe that's a good way to kind of, like, get some story mileage out of him killing Zod. Like, maybe Superman really regrets that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you saved us all. That's what saved the day. Why didn't you kill now? Why don't you go to Russia and kill Putin? Why don't you kill all these dictators and all these evil people like you did Zod? And Superman's like, no, I hate that.
Where do you stop?
Why don't you just, which is basically the concept of injustice. Once he started down that road.
Mm-hmm. You don't know when to stop. Yeah. And it becomes a big problem. There's two games and a whole comic about it. Yeah. But no, I appreciate that angle from Maxwell Lord. I also liked when you said that they come together in some way that, like...
Well, that was my big problem is how, though. Like, what? Because obviously Maxwell Lord's not making Doomsday.
Uh-huh. I think what could be really fun is if you use the evil scientist trying to fix his legs or whatever and get psychic powers, because classic, that's a great one. Yeah, fans love it. You could have someone in the next room in a similar scenario, and that's where you get Scooter McIntyre. What's his
Scoot
name?
McNair.
There you go. Yeah. You get like the parasite. Basically, it's a super villain like creation lab, and that's how you actually introduce a lot of like you could have actually used that as a way to introduce some of the metas that would be in Suicide Squad.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, now there's another question. So then, if we're saying maybe in fixing him, he gets the psychic powers, do we introduce Lex Luthor in this movie? Even though, see, Maxwell Lord in this scenario is not a billionaire. He's a soldier that has made himself like a political figure. Because I thought that, you know, we know that we're going to get Lex Luthor at some point. We can't have a bunch of billionaires three movies in. Would that scientist be like, could we introduce Lex Luthor into this version of the story?
You could, maybe at the end as a tease, but I think the way I know Maxwell Lord has been the leader of like Checkmate and a bunch of other like organizations. You could have him as a soldier in that. Like he has control over this entire organization that goes out and like tries to fix the world, and then he sees these two and it's like, why? But here's a point. It's like, why don't you go farther? Why don't you go and actually do the things that we can't do because we have borders and we have laws and everything? It's like, no, you two can actually surpass them.
Fix everything.
Yeah.
So how about this? Uh-huh. How about Maxwell Lord is at the Black Zero event as part of a special ops Checkmate team. Mm-hmm. His boss is Amanda Waller. But they don't know nobody knows he has these psychic powers. Mm-hmm. And so Amanda Waller, they're the ones that fix him. Or maybe she does. Maybe they tried to give soldiers powers because fuck Superman. And so they did, but she thinks they control him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. And maybe they've been working on, because in Justice League Unlimited, they create Doomsday as like an anti-Superman. So maybe he unleashes, maybe they're working on a backup anti-Superman plan. Maxwell Lord tears shit up, releases Doomsday, mm-hmm. and maybe that's what causes Amanda Waller to be like, oh shit, that was a bad idea. Suicide Squad's a better idea.
Yeah, don't make our own. Like, let's just use what we have.
We've got these people locked away, mm-hmm. and they're not quite as unstoppable.
Besides Enchantress, that's a different movie.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Actually, I do have a lot of what-if scenarios for Suicide Squad, so if you guys like this format,
we can come back.
The other thing, though, you could do is that I realized just in talking about maybe OMAC. Maybe the big, we have to come together to stop. Maybe he has connections to the OMAC program.
And Brother Eye,
and he unleashes that in the final act, and Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman have to work together to stop that.
And when you say he, you mean Maxwell Lord.
So, and the other thing I like about
That could be a good way, because if he is like a government, like a government stooge or someone running like a black ops site, kind of like Argus or Checkmate or whatever million organizations you want to pick from DC, OMAC could be the response to, Brother Eye could be a response to Superman. It's like,
Superman.
No, you can't, like, if you want to try to be everywhere, we're going to try to be everywhere too. And Brother Eye, if you guys don't know, it's like a satellite AI program that just monitors crime everywhere and usually sends out OMAC drones to take care of it.
And they're like super soldier drones that, like, I know, they like take over human body. Yeah.
In Infinite Crisis, that's how it works.
Yeah.
And that, I read that book. That book's all over the place.
I would love, and then what I would love is the reveal, when his big reveal to Bruce Wayne that he's known the whole time and he's been controlling Bruce Wayne, he gets up out of the wheelchair and you realize it's been a psychic suggestion that his legs don't work. Like, when he went to the doctors, he suggested to them that no, his back's still severed, it doesn't work, and he's been fine.
Yeah,
he's fine. And then it also explains, because one of the complaints that come up with Batman v Superman is like, how is, and this is common of Prometheus and Arrow, this is common of a lot of supervillains, like, how are you always 50 steps ahead? And you could have Maxwell Lord say a line like, it's so much easier to think ahead of somebody when you know what they're thinking. And he explains to, like, Batman, you're the greatest detective in the world, you're one of the best minds in the world, but I'm in your head, so am I. Like I know what you're thinking, you know? And it's like, that's scary.
Yeah. And also the idea of just suggesting the, like, not just kind of pushing the worst of each other, it would be a better story. It would be a good piece of story to make them go at each other's throat.
Exactly. And it also, I think what would be a really cool example is both of these guys are trying to do it all alone, and the idea is a good exploration of what makes a hero, because Maxwell Lord's saying, you should do this, you should kill, you should do that, and it would force Batman and Superman into a situation like, wait, what actually makes us heroes? And they realize this is set up to Justice League, we're stronger together, like, we have flaws, like, Superman's not perfect, like, he could, in their, like, final thing, he reveals to him, like, don't you get that I have all these insecurities too, like, I don't know what to do with this, and Batman has his flaws, and they realize they're stronger together, team up with Wonder Woman, stop Max.
Okay, how about, maybe, I don't know how this is gonna work, I can't figure it out in my brain right now, but as a way to break that, Wonder Woman's lasso. That could be a way of, like, kind of clearing their slate. But also, that means you have to spend a chunk of the movie explaining what does Wonder Woman do, and that could get money.
But again, if we're only focused on Maxwell, here's the other issue. What the fuck does Lois Lane do in this movie? She could be investigating. She could just be doing a report on Maxwell Lord, just like, and that's how Superman could get involved. So we know Bruce is invested in Max. They're kind of friends now. Lois is just supposed to do a normal puff piece report on Max. But as she does digging, she's like, wait a second. Like, this gets super sketch super quick. And so maybe instead of investigating magic bullets, it's like the connection to Checkmate. And she, think about a great scene between Lois Lane and Amanda Waller. I'd love to see those two head to head.
That would be really cool.
And the other thing I like about Max that I didn't say real quick is he's neutral. He's not a Batman villain or Superman villain. He's kind of like a Justice League villain.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like neutral territory.
Even though Lex is, obviously, he's the classic one and everyone knows it. And, like, also selling
the
movie.
And I like Jesse Eisenberg's Lex. I do. I think in that universe, with everybody being so aggro and serious, I think having a thinner, more mischievous Lex works.
I think the pitch of maybe making him sick, and that's why he's maybe overcompensating and kind of dealing with, like, a lot of psychological problems. Like, I'd buy it more, but that's not what it is. So he's just being weird. Yeah. And so I don't like it that much. But I was just thinking, what was Maxwell Lord? I don't know. It'd be kind of fun at the end if you had, like, Lex Luthor coming in and kind of seeing what Max has done and, like, thinking that he can do better.
It would be interesting. I think this would be a good opportunity to have a couple tags at the end. One involving Lex that sets up a Man of Steel 2. And then maybe one, I think it'd be really cool. We obviously have some connective tissue to Suicide Squad in this pitch because Amanda Waller's around. But I thought it'd be cool, again, that mixtape idea. If you had Batman dealing with these issues of what does he do in a world with Superman, mm-hmm. taking the scene from Killing Joke where he visits Joker in a cell, and he visits Joker and he's like, I'm going to have to kill you at some point. Like that whole conversation mm-hmm. where Batman's coming to terms with his limits. But you also have Joker realizing Batman's not, I had fun with Batman because Batman was the apex. Mm-hmm. And now Superman, like I'm going to have to step up if I'm going to deal with people like Superman now, which would set up what I think my what if scenario for Suicide Squad, that if you like this, we'll get into that down the road.
Also, that's kind of what Injustice is. That's like kind of the pitch of the beginning of Injustice. It's like, no, Batman got boring, so we're going to go ahead and try Superman because oh, he's got a wife and everything. Like, this is going to be fun. And then shit goes. Actually, in Injustice 2, there was a great line where like they start talking about Harley and they're like, Harley, this is your fault. Just so you know, like, even though she's like helping Batman, she was like, and kind of like talking to Superman. I think there's a point when she was like, I was actually just kind of expecting you to save everybody. Like, I was kind of like, of course we were supposed to lose.
Yeah.
And then you whoops. Did the, yeah, but you did, you, time. You yeah. did it too well. Yeah. Like, which I'm like, ah, damn it. Like, whoops. That's fucked up because also you're still, that's your fault. Yeah. But, and it's Superman's fault too. But it's like, that's just a kind of cool piece of psychology. Yeah. But anyways, those are some fun ideas for Batman v Superman. Now we want to move over to Flash season 4 and season 3 talk. So really quick. Quickie review, just so you know, you can find all of our thoughts and in-depth conversation about with Jason Inman.
It's a long episode. Yeah,
so if you want some meat about some CW shows, go check out our Patreon. $5 to get you all the bonus episodes you'd ever want. But anyways, quickie review. I think our favorite finale. Oh, my favorite finale was Arrow.
Mine is Arrow 2. Arrow. Mine is Arrow 2. It was not as high as the rest of the season for me, but that is a high bar.
That is very high bar. So, but for us, it went like Arrow, best, Supergirl, and then Flash was kind of the lowest one.
Flash was the lowest, but Legends, if you count the Legends one, is like number two.
Is number two. So Arrow, Legends, Supergirl, Flash. I love what Legends did
this season. But anyway.
Uh-huh. But so we were talking, and like we were like, how could we maybe tweak season three, because season three I feel like was better than season two. It was clearer. There's like, these are the stories. It's not just multiverse and zoom running around kind of sending people to kill you. Not really, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, and by the end of it you're like, yeah, you're right, this doesn't actually make a lot of sense. But when you get into time travel, that's how shit happens. We wanted to kind of talk about like what could be some fun ways to play around with season three of Flash that work with the elements we have, maybe, or just change them all together. Like, a lot of people are like, what if we stayed in Flashpoint a lot longer? I know in our bonus episode, Jason brought that up, and like, I started to think about it more, and I think you could have a really cool moment of him saying goodbye to the people that he meets in Flashpoint.
Yeah.
And that would actually propel meeting Tracy Brandt in the real world, like where you kind
of like what they did in Agents of Hydra, where you kind of meet characters that exist in the real world, but you haven't met them there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like that could be him kind of trying to reestablish that, or you could see him like, if you want to stretch out Iris's and Barry's love a little bit more, you could maybe sell it more by having them actually go on real dates as non-siblings in Flashpoint, because they don't know each other. And also you could maybe have some moments where you see how close Joe and Barry could be, or have them at odds, and that way there's the second half of the season you have time to actually like invest in, like investigate this relationship.
Also really explore, maybe invest more in why Flashpoint needs to go away.
Yeah,
because it was more like, oh, Joe's sad, and also Wally's not healing for some reason, this whole thing needs to be resolved. It's like, wait, what? Why is that? I don't know if you
Barry fucked up. Don't do that again.
Because Cisco's like way happier, like a majority of the people are like way happier.
Caitlin like never like lost two boyfriends
or
a husband. That was a rough one. She's just a dentist and she's happy.
Yeah.
She still does surgery later, and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Come on, Caitlin.
I'm not like those people that would say Flashpoint like all season long. Like, I think maybe even just two episodes. Mm-hmm. It was one. Like, maybe do two. You know? And then you're good.
I think what could be really funny, you have a moment where Harry comes over from Earth 2, and they're like, whoa, what was this room from? They're like, did you change shit? And like, I would have loved if he came over during Flashpoint, and he's like, okay, that shit's real fucked up now. Yeah. And they have to like, and then you get into a really interesting conversation about, don't have Barry losing his memories. Like that, I wasn't really sold on that as a reason for him to go and fix everything. But have him like really explore like how selfish this decision was.
Yeah.
And Barry tries to, it would be nice if Barry tried to say, no, your lives are better though. Like kind of like how Reverse Flash in the end of season one, where he's like, your lives are way better off for me being here. And it's like, it's a really fucked up thing. And then you get a moment where it's like, shit, Barry actually did something awful.
Yeah.
I think there's some fun story things there. And also, I think Jason or somebody, maybe it was you, that played around with the idea like of what if the villain of the season was from Flashpoint? Someone that...
Yeah, and you guys talked a little bit about the idea of maybe the alternate... Barry being the time remnant he made to stop Zoom. And I liked your guys' suggestion with that, even though I don't really... I kind of wish we just... I think it would be... Going off that, what if the time remnant evil Barry was when he fought Zoom, but was not Savitar? He was Dr. Alchemy. He lost his speed powers, but he was able to bring people back from Flashpoint. Yeah, I wish we'd stuck with Dr. Alchemy. I'm always going to go back to that one. Fuck Savitar. I wish we'd stuck with Dr. Alchemy.
And he could, like, do a lot of fun shit. Like, he, in the comics, he just, like, doesn't he, like, play with the elements and, like...
Yeah.
And
what if he could, like, steal, like, take some classic Flash powers, like, Barry runs at him to go punch him, and he just takes the Speed Force away from Barry. Just sucks it out of him.
Be really cool.
And so, like, and just, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that.
What do you think about this? As a way, it's really hard to relate with evil Barry. It's really hard to, like, understand him. If I like the ideas, if the time remnant, the only one he ever made, when he sacrificed himself for the multiverse, got thrown into the Speed Force or the multiverse, and in New 52 Flash, they introduced one of these, like, this character from the 1940s that got like sucked into the Speed Force, and he was an air like a fighter pilot. And he can just see all of Barry's life playing out in front of him all the time in the Speed Force because Barry created it. So like, he can see everything he ever does. Now what if Remnant Barry, that happens to him? So he gets to see, like, okay, I sacrificed myself, but we're the same person, so this is okay. And then he sees Barry make Flashpoint, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we just did all of this, and we just got all this back, and we lost our dad, but, like, how could you do this? And then he sees him reverse Flashpoint, and, like, he kind of just starts to lose his fucking mind because, one, he's isolated. So he kind of, like, all he's doing is talking to himself and watching somebody, watching someone live the life that's actually his. So you
and
have him.
And he's sitting there thinking, like, I wouldn't have made Flashpoint. I wouldn't have done,
it would have made sense of why he's trapped, too. You don't need a prison. It's just, like, he sacrificed himself, got sucked into the multiverse, and now he can just pop up every once in a while. So basically, he starts, like, you know what? I can do this better. And so you have him running back and forth through time and kind of creating, like a the legend of Savitar, legend of whatever, and then finally when he shows up, he's like, this is what I did. What did you do? You made Flashpoint and you fucked up the entire universe.
But if you did that, you'd also take out the Killing Iris thing. What would you do with the Killing Iris thing?
Get rid of it entirely. Like, I kind of, like, it gave Iris a lot of moments this season where she could, like, test her boundaries as a character. And, like, also CW's, we talked about this, CW's very bad at writing women. For the most part, like, at least in these shows.
The love interest. The love interest, whoever's designated as the primary love interest,
that is
not
female,
so great.
Because
not even then. Think about James in Supergirl.
True, but I was thinking iZombie. Major.
But that's if we limit it to just the superhero CW shows, whoever is the designated love interest at the start of the show always gets short shrift. Like, they always get shit on. Like, like Laurel, James, Iris, like, it's always, which I think is, well, even Shara in Legends, the Hot Girl, like,
she doesn't, that's
Kendra, I'm sorry,
Kendra,
very true. Sorry, there's 15 different Hot Girls.
But you could have a moment of, instead of, like, alternate Barry killing Iris and then sending him down this path, because you don't need another time travel story. Like, just make him a duplicate and make it deal with the multiverse, because that was actually a really fun concept that they really never dove into besides pulling characters out of the multiverse, like Gypsy and HR and Harry. What if you had him find a way of making himself immortal where he does exist in every moment, which was an idea they brought up in the finale, so that he's like, this is how much better I am than you. It's a competition of, like, I have no idea why in that moment I had to sacrifice myself and you didn't. Like, why?
So what if the flash forward, like, we need to stop this murder from happening, is Barry.
Is Barry dying?
Is we see Savitar in the future murder Barry. Here's, I just realized why that wouldn't work. Because it wouldn't happen. Anybody watching the show would be like, you're not going to kill off the main character.
No,
that's
why
it was Iris as opposed to Barry.
But you could get a really cool moment at the end when Barry gets sucked into the prison. You could pull a Fringe season 3 where they do a switch with the evil doppelganger.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the season, you could have a moment where you have, like, this evil Barry going around. And that's how you pull off, that's how you pull off the story that they pulled this from in New 52, where the future Barry comes back and tries to kill Barry. And he takes his place for a while. And he goes around starting to kill people that in the future commit crimes. Like, he kills a kid that, like, hacks and steals steals naked women's photos and sends them on the internet, and he pulverizes his heart. And you're like, holy shit, that's a little
that's a little dark.
So you get a couple stories of like Barry going over the top, and you have to you get an arc where Wally has shit to do this season, where he's kind of the one that's figuring this out, and he kind of goes to HR, who's like the most of the out, like he's the most outside of everybody, and he's like, I think something's wrong.
Okay, I think we can assemble something pretty cool out of this. All right. So, Flashpoint lasts 2 to 5 episodes, right? We have Dr. Alchemy, which is Julian.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers for the Patreon bonus episode. If you want to know more about this idea, check that out.
Uh-huh.
Jason suggested, because there's been versions of Dr. Alchemy that have split personality, he was like, let's make that literal, but one of them's from Flashpoint. Like, somehow he survived Flashpoint.
Uh-huh.
So there's two versions of Julian. So Dr. Alchemy is the Flashpoint Julian working for Savitar, whose Savitar, it's the time remnant that he used to stop Zoom that did what you, he's been stuck on the Speed Force, seeing all the stupid decisions Barry's making. He's like, fuck this, I can do this better. He saves alternate Julian from Flashpoint, or he finds alternate Julian from Flashpoint. It's like, hey, you and me, man, you bring people from Flashpoint, because fuck Barry in that decision. And then we don't save the evil Barry reveal till like 3 episodes before the end. We do it like either right before we go to the mid-season break or right after.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, 2/3 of the way through the back half of the season, Barry's acting real weird. And we're like, what the fuck? And that's, so you have like 5 episodes of Barry being evil and good Barry being in that Speed Force prison.
And watching everything happen.
And then we kind of like play out our end game. And then I would change, instead of having the big, oh, goodbye, for some reason in an instant, Barry's like, oh, shit, I got to go back to the Speed Force prison. As opposed to like everybody gets a chance to say goodbye. It's like, it just happens. It has to happen. It happens. And maybe as he's fighting Savitar, remember how the time remnant Barry got like dissolved?
Yeah.
Classic Barry's like, I'm out. And you basically do a riff on how he died in Crisis of Infinite Earths.
What if, while like we get the reverse and Barry, like our Barry is sucking the Speed Force, watching everything, you could also have another story point of like, you see how much, like, alternate or remnant Barry sees how much he's fucking up, and because he can see all of Barry's life, he can see a little bit of the future.
Yeah.
So you get that storyline,
yeah.
But you're like, you have no idea what the fuck's coming, and like, I can't let you fuck up again. Like,
yeah.
I've seen what you've done, and because I've gone through time and basically created this legend of myself, like, I'm capable of stopping what's coming, even though, you know, he's going to go too far.
Yeah.
And then when Barry is like, our Barry is sent into the Speed Force, he gets some glimpses of like what's going to happen. Kind of like in season one when he ran through the Speed Force and saw like his future or possibilities. When he comes back, instead of going off to the prison or whatever the fuck, you're basically like, we have to, instead of like the back half of the season was preparing for the future, let's tease that as what's going to happen next. And you're like, DeVoe is coming, or it's Clifford DeVoe. I looked up his name. Like the Thinker's coming, or you're like, the Rogues are going to get organized, or like Captain Cold's actually back. Like there's like, shit's actually really bad, and we need to like prepare for it. And that's how you lead into season four. Like you see Barry stopping a bunch of crimes when they're happening. Because he's seen them, but at a certain point he doesn't know them anymore. He's just like, I know.
Especially
one
since
big...
he's changed stuff.
Yeah. Like, so it's like he knows that one big thing is going to happen, and he's like, I don't know how to prepare for it. So that's how you get this storyline. You get more mileage out of the stopping something happening in the future.
Now, speaking of the future, I would like to jump into speculation for season four.
Yeah.
However, before we do that, some of you are probably sitting there listening, like, man, all this shit is way better in Flash season 3 or BVS. That may be your opinion. You may be like, this is way better. To be fair, we have a thing that already exists, and we have had time to see that thing, see what didn't work, go back, be like, hey, what could you have done differently? Which is not a luxury you have when you're having to come up with it from scratch.
Yeah.
And not necessarily completely from scratch in the comic book, but basically from scratch. And you have deadlines to make shows, and then you have to worry about production budgets, and you have to worry about all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember all the tremendous amount of creative, talented people and the pressure they're under and the amount of work that goes into these things when you're like, oh, this bullshit these two guys are just spitting out is way better. Like,
no. Because I think I love the Flash finale more than a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think
Why do you think that is?
And I think sometimes I flip it with Supergirl, of being like, my favorites were Arrow, Legends, Flash, and then Supergirl, which you can find out why when we in our bonus episode. But I just think these could be some fun story elements. Does that mean it's easier? No, yeah. Probably not. Like, it's probably way more difficult.
Also, we're just giving like the barest cliff notes. We haven't figured out how episodes would work, any of that other stuff. Yeah.
I think it'd be a fun way to close the loop with the Time Remnant, and that way we can connect with it. Also, you get rid of a lot of the time travel garbage. I knew I was gonna slur it. But all that garbage where you're just like, well, technically, since it's Flashpoint and he killed him, then Iris never dies, and Cybertron never exists, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's...
I like it. I like the stuff. I like your suggestions. I like the idea of him being stuck in there. I like the idea of him switch. I think that's a great idea if they switch for a few episodes, because one of the things that bothered me this season was how long they stretched out that stupid reveal.
You know what would be cool, too? You would get more mileage out of the face switcheroo tech from HR.
But at this point, we don't even need it.
Oh, but maybe if he had a scar or something. But like, like maybe he got fucked up.
Yeah.
If he got the scar, that way you could like hide it. But yes, you're right. We don't need it because he's not killing Iris. But
you could bring that back. If you needed to bring that back for whatever reason, maybe he knows it's one of those stupid, like, if Iris lives, then da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And 100 years later, this person dies. So I need to kill Iris now. You know what I mean? That sort of crazy thinking.
You could, and I don't know if this has a bigger payoff. I don't think it does. But what if Killer Frost is the person that could be the one that's going to be killed? Like, Barry, like, alternate Remnant Barry, seeing that, like, Killer Frost goes fucking berserk and starts killing people.
That'd be great, because then if Barry sees the future, he's like, what he sees is he kills Caitlin.
Yeah.
So all he knows is, oh shit, Savitar kills Caitlin. Mm-hmm. And what he doesn't know is he's trying to stop Killer Frost from something, and then Killer Frost could be the big bad of season 4.
Yeah.
Like, he organizes the rogues.
See? Could be fun.
This is fun speculating.
Yeah. Again, speculate with us. Actually, go on Twitter and be like, do you like these ideas, or do you have some more fun ideas? Because also, when new stuff comes out, like when American Gods finishes, because I think we're about to have our fifth episode,
yep.
By the time this comes out, fifth has already happened. So we only have three more, right? It's 8 episodes. We can start speculating, like, where the fuck are we going to go? Like, what other gods can we see, or whatever? Yeah. Like, we can have some fun with this. Also, we're going to be getting like 90 superhero movies over the next 3 months, so we can speculate.
And we can also go back to like, hey, what is a different type of X-Men trilogy they could have done? Because, you know, we have the two trilogies. You know what I mean? What's a different one? What stuff like that. We could even speculate about movies that aren't. Like, how if you said, hey, Tom Hardy, Ruben Fleischer, Venom movie, connect it to Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, we could do fun stuff like that. So tweet us at @OnlyStupidAnswers.
Yank out the vowels from stupid stars.
And you're in the middle of yawn. But real quick, I want to know your thought. We've got some tweets about speculation for season 4.
Yes, and we have hints of who possibly the big bad's going to be.
Yeah, possibly in some future season, we're presuming season 4. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go through some of these tweets, and then I have a thought on what you could do, what I'd like to see, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, Sam. Michael at Skull Mike. I'd like to see Barry come back, a well-adjusted individual, also faster, way faster, Savitar in a suit level fast. This is another fun one. Robert E. Westside at 8-Bit Vinyl. I would like to see Barry with a new ally, only discover mid-season that he's actually been the villain the whole time. Oh, Robert's got jokes.
Oh, he's got a few jokes. We also got a tweet here from Remy Soyoyi. I'm sorry, at Game Kid Mad City. I really want the storm at the end to be the Speed Force storm. Now, if you guys don't know, in Joshua Williamson, I like him. I like his writing. I did Birthright over at Skybound. He's writing The Flash right now, and he created the Speed Force storm. This basically, the secret organization found a way to tap into the Speed Force, and they released this giant lightning storm that gave at least like 70 people speedster powers. And it was a really cool moment where you got to see Barry be a teacher. And like actually like train people. Like, my favorite scene is he goes to this girl's house and she's just vibrating constantly and she's talking like in hyperspeed, you know? Yeah. And he's like, okay, this happened to me and I'm going to show you what you need to do. And it's this really tender moment where he's like, just grab my hand. And he's like, focus on something that you love and like talk to me about it. And like, she's talking faster and she starts to get like slow down and focus. And it's like, it's okay. Yeah. And it's really sweet. It's a really sweet Barry moment. And you get a lot of like, you can get a lot of mileage out of like him being a teacher, because we didn't get any of that. We just saw him being a dick to Wally this season. I would like him to be like a mentor.
We got a lot of people saying, oh, Speedstorm, oh, Godspeed.
It's like, if you didn't read Flash, just let me know, just so you know, they introduced a new character at the start of this arc, and you're like, don't worry, it's been Barry's friend for years. And you're like, never seen him before, never heard of him. No. And he is definitely Godspeed because he got Speedster powers too. And you're like, that's stupid. And
it's also like, I do not need, if they do another fucking Speedster as the antagonist, or God forbid, a whole bunch of Speedsters, I'm done. I'm done, man. Like, I can't deal with more Speedsters. The only Speedster I want to see is Impulse.
Impulse would be great.
That's it.
Uh-huh. And give us...
Give it a break.
Yeah. Give us a year. Give us 1 year.
At least.
Yeah. And then you can get into Inertia if you want to, because Inertia can be a lot of fun. Inertia
is fun. And it would be fun to see antagonists for others, like for Kid Flash and Impulse and stuff like that.
Yeah, because they got a lot. There's a lot of other people that they could play around with.
Here's just a couple other ones. El Hispano Pequeño. I want a 5-year jump with Wally as Flash and Ollie alone, which gives 2 more years or seasons until... the newspaper is the present, the newspaper they look at. But hey, man, Flash is going to be on for 10 years. They'll get to that newspaper.
They will, and they'll make their way there.
Don't rush through it. Stephen Coronado, I want Bart Allen Impulse. Yes, please. I want that too. Also want to actually have a good storyline and get a better suit. A lot of people shit on Wally's suit. I think it's better than Barry's.
It is better than Barry's
suit. Okay, I'm glad I'm not also, alone
like
in that.
I like he's growing out his hair too.
Yeah, I like really that. Cool. It adds a lot to it.
Yeah, he looks...
And they got one of the weird neck thing. It's fine. It's better than Barry's.
Yeah, the mask is solid. Like, it makes sense for his face.
He doesn't have the dome head thing, man.
He's got cool arrows on the side. I think Kid Flash's lightning is really cool.
I think the lightning's really cool. Also, like, steal from Flash in the movies and from Captain America and give Barry a helmet, man. Like, it just works better.
Yeah.
James Kavcak?
Kavak.
Sorry.
Yeah, you got it.
hoping the 4-part crossover is Heroes versus Suicide Squad. Maybe pick up some beats from Rebirth JL versus Suicide Squad. Although, I don't know. I mean, they've gone through a lot of trouble to kill off a lot of Suicide Squad characters.
They did say Suicide Squad in the heist episode, but... Guys,
they also teased Cheetah, and I don't think we're going to see her in anything.
No, I don't think a TV Cheetah is going to look very good, because it needs to be a person.
Yeah.
I mean, King Shark and Grodd do look good, but it's like... I think Cheetah might be a little tougher because
she's a lot faster and she's more humanoid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But hey, not to be negative.
I think you should take this last one, Sam.
Uh-huh. What do we got? Jake Sarmazian at J Sarmazian. I want to see Kite Man. Hell yeah. Man, I bet Tom King has Kite Man wrapped up tight. That bit of Kite Man is amazing. I think my favorite scene is he's flying into a penthouse in Gotham. He collapses his kite onto his back. By doing that, he lands in the penthouse, runs through the window, grabs like necklaces off of people, and then jumps out the next window in front of him, and he pops his kite again. He says, "Kite Man, hell yeah," and immediately gets stopped by Gotham Girl. Like, immediately.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see him in Arrow. I feel like the Arrow people would have a lot of fun with him.
Just pin him down with an arrow. Just have him like do circles in the air.
You're right. Okay, so...
Speculation.
Speculation for season 4. I got an arc for you. Here we go. I would like, and this is just bare bones, right? Du DeVoe, the thinker, he decides, listen, rogues, if you organized, there's no way Flash could stop us. So he uses his tremendous thinking ability to create plans that are just way ahead of the curve. He organizes the remaining rogues into a unit, into a team. And so the whole first half of the season is Flash. Is the first like 5 episodes is like Wally as Flash trying to outthink the thinker and deal with all of Barry's rogues working in unison. And like, how do I stop this? Barry gets brought back. I mean, I'd keep it as a reveal for like the mid-season finale. That's not gonna happen. Best it'll be 5 episodes in. Like, if we do 5 episodes without Grant Gustin, like, that's ballsy, you know. That's what happens. 5 episodes in, they're able to bring Barry back. Oh shit, the thinker's like, don't worry, this is a challenge, but I'm the thinker, so I've got a plan. He figures out a way to pull Cold from time and bring Cold part of the rogues, but Cold's like, fuck you, and creates his own faction of rogues. So the back half of the season is rogue war, like two factions of warring rogues.
Cold, Heatwave, and probably maybe Golden Glider can be on the other team. That way it's like, yeah, you get like something some sibling like that, I rivalry think.
Oh,
stuff.
Wait, she was put on Frequency, which is not a thing anymore, so we can have her back.
Sorry, Frequency.
Yeah, and sorry for loved having Nyssa back in Arrow. Sorry, Training Day, for losing your star.
Sorry.
but So that's my focusing on the rogues, mm-hmm. focusing on a villain that doesn't have speed powers,
no,
but is just so smart and is able to, like, you could create a trap where, like, Wally rushes into a room and there's a trap that sucks all the inertia, so he's literally stuck in time.
Uh-huh.
You know, try stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. No, get into the weird sci-fi traps,
yeah.
because, like, you have a cold gun that's nearly absolute zero and you have a heat gun that's... It's fire, man. Yeah. Don't pretend it's the opposite.
It's a flamethrower. It's not really. Yeah. Yeah.
And even in Legends of Tomorrow, when they, like, blast people, it just pushes them back. It's not, like, freezing them.
Yeah.
It's never, like, doing what the gun is supposed to do ever. Yeah. No one gets burned in Legends of Tomorrow, which is funny. But, no, I like the idea that Thinker can think faster than Barry can move. Like, and, and that's something. Like, he can have a... Oh, in Geoff Johns' run, it's not the Thinker doing it, but they have this
when
new
they're
character.
In the mirror world.
Oh, no, it's in... I won't spoil anything, but basically there's a character that, like, gets some rogues together, and, like, which happens in a lot of things.
Yeah, but if you want... If you read Geoff Johns' run, the Thinker shows up within the first arc.
Yes, he does. Yeah. And
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think... Actually, it happened in Rebirth, too, that, like, it would be really cool to see... rogues pulling off heists faster than Wally can move. It's like that. The only way you can do it is you organize it. Like, you have Mirror Master doing something where he can teleport away really fast, like faster than Barry can move, or Wally. It would be Wally, so that we'd have a reason to go get Barry, so you can be in two places at once. Also, with the rogues, that way you can have them all getting, like, gigs done or hits done at the same time. But how do you get it going for, like, a whole front half of the season? Like, that's the part that could be confusing. Like, how do you get mileage out of DeVoe for an entire
Well, I mean, I think it would be the same issue as with the speedsters, because it's the reverse. Like, it would be like a heist of the week, like whatever DeVoe's master plan is that week, you know?
Do we have to go to super sci-fi and have DeVoe or, like, the Thinker be, like, an AI program that the CCPD is, like, implementing to, like, get crime done faster or some shit? And then,
interesting.
Like, and
what if it was an AI program that, like, DeVoe's the guy that invented it, and then he kind of, like, co-ops it and becomes... What if... interesting. What if they have an AI that they're using to kind of, like, pick up the slack without Barry? Because we for a minute there, we had two speedsters, and things were going nice. You know what I mean? Sometimes three, sometimes four. Like, it's nuts. So they implement the AI, and DeVoe is, like, the mousy worker, and he dies... like four or five episodes in, and downloads his intelligence into the AI, and so now he's everywhere. That's actually kind of fucking cool.
You could do that, and that way maybe you could have also some mind control elements in there, where, like, DeVoe, I feel like, does that sometimes, where you can kind of take control of, like, Barry or Wally or one of the rogues, but you could have him take over one of the speedsters as a way of, like, kind of, like, you can have a speedster villain, but it's one of your teammates. That way you don't need to introduce anybody new, and it's, like, it's something really difficult. Like, you don't know how to stop this. You don't. There's no way that, because they can outthink you, and now they have someone who can outrun you.
Okay, so odds are that storm at the end with the speed force and everything is supposed to be the speed storm, right?
It's probably going to be.
Is there a way, without having speedster villains, for the love of God, please, that Thinker could utilize a bunch of people with the speed force?
I think he could use it as a way, because Thinker always wants to be able to think more. He wants to be able to, like, have the ultimate amount of processing power. So he usually goes to, like, the Flash, based on Wikipedia. He usually goes to the Flash to, like, kind of, like, download himself into the Flash's brain so he can think even faster. Like,
interesting.
What do you call that when computers, you ramp them up?
That is something I would like to... I don't know. That's why I'm not answering your question.
Overclock
the computer. It'd be interesting to see somebody. This is something they've flirted with, but they've never done to somebody that gets power from the speed force that is not speed related.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somehow he's able to access the speed force to just think faster.
Ooh, what if Barry comes back and Wally has, like, implemented him? Like, he's, like, tried to be, like, more public about who he is. Like, and basically there's one story from the New 52 where Barry runs on the treadmill, and then one scientist basically bottles the speed force and uses it to run the trains and runs the power. Like, everything is self-sufficient based on the speed force. So Thinker could then tap into that, and it won't be enough. He's like, I need to get it from the source, so he could use one of the speedsters as, like, a human battery of, like, making him think more. And also maybe he could use it as a way to try to stop crime before the Flash can. He's like, no, I'll just predict it.
Yeah.
He's like, I can think faster than you can move. Like, I can figure out what's going to happen next. You never do that, which could be a fun way of introducing one of Barry's powers from the New 52, which is speed thinking, where he, like, basically is one of my favorite Francis Manapul, stills, where, like, he has, like, a million thoughts happening at once, because, and it's only happening in a second,
yeah,
like, or, like, a fraction of a second. Because Barry has the time to do that. That way it would be Barry not trying to outrun someone. He's just trying to outthink them. He's like, yeah. How many possibilities can we get? And that way it would be a fun way of implementing like Jesse and Jay and like maybe grab another speed Impulse.
I definitely
too.
Want it to be...
Oh, that's how you get Impulse. Because Impulse is from the future. And you can use a future storyline of like DeVoe can maybe predict a little bit into the future, but Impulse has lived it.
So
you could use it as a way of trying to stop something... that DeVoe's going to do.
You know, another interesting that you could do is maybe Bart comes back because now that we've dealt with Savitar, like DeVoe, what if Bart comes back from a totalitarian future where the thinker is everything?
Everything.
Yeah, he's got ultimate control, like 1984 type, like totalitarian regime.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, so he comes back because now we've dealt with Savitar. So maybe without Savitar around, Thinker is able to become like you could even do like an Age of Apocalypse, like Days of Future Past type thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. So, and maybe they use speedsters like gerbils or whatever. Like they run on like hamster wheels and they like power everything.
He power everything. His, like, that's interesting.
His, like, thought and everything.
So what if? So maybe first half of the season, a bunch of. I don't want to do a bunch of speedsters. I just don't want to do it. Because it would be interesting if maybe there was a bunch of speedsters and DeVoe is working on a way to for the CPD, CCPD, to like deal with them, stop them, whatever, and they fuck up his shit. So he's like against speedsters.
Uh-huh.
And so that kind of sets up back half of season two and him using computer stuff to think way faster than any speedster, and maybe he starts experimenting with the rogues. Like he doesn't see the rogues as his team, but as like parts of his experiment. Like this whole thing is an experiment. Ooh. maybe that would be interesting motivation for a villain. I don't want to rule anything. I don't want a lot of money. I just want to know more.
Yeah,
and so you guys are lab rats to me.
Yeah, and maybe he could act like an oracle type, like giving them info on their like cell phones of like, yeah, you can do a hit now. If you hit it right now and do these things, the Flash can't make it in time. Like you can get away and you'll get everything you want. Like, and he's like, let's just see.
And then you can see, because he starts fucking over the rogues, because again, he doesn't care about them. So the Flash and the rogues unite at the end to stop him. Like, that's the finale, is Flash teaming up with the rogues.
And if you had, like, your speedsters from the speedster storm, like, you basically, like, Thinker can maybe mind control, like, 9 speedsters or a couple speedsters. And you're like, well, shit, can the rogues take on, like, 3 Flashes at once? That might be tough.
I would have the speedster stuff resolved by the mid-season finale.
Well, maybe, like, a revisit near the end of the season is, like... Probably. Because they round stuff out and they bring things back. And so, like, you brought Flashpoint back because Barry fucked up and then he went into the Speed Force storm and whatever happened.
Yeah. I don't even know how that's the one thing we haven't figured out is we haven't even talked about, like, what is the reasoning behind how they get Barry back? How do they explain...
Speed Force
the
stuff.
Prison gobbledygook
vibing.
And all that. Yeah, I don't know. I would also take the team down to be... Who's the new girl? I asked this when we
Tracy.
Did it. Tracy. Basically, Tracy, Vibe, Wally. That's Star Labs, Team Flash.
Like, and
that's
Harry. It. I mean, Harry's there.
You know what? I'd have him be a recurring. I'd have him be like John Barrowman.
Uh-huh.
Where he just shows up like 5 episodes out of a season. And so he's still around, but he's not like a regular.
And
but
I then love him.
I love him too, but like there's not a lot for him to do anymore. And then have Joe Iris be doing a reporter stuff, and give her some good reporter stuff stories. And then have Joe do his cop stuff and give him good cop stories. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options, but guys, we could do this for hours, but we are going over. And we appreciate you guys tuning in and letting us just nerd out and like just talk about stuff, because I think that's one of the fun parts about being in this, like being fans of superhero culture, because there's after 60 years there's only like there's going to be a million different variations of stories.
Yep.
And it's fun when we get to play around with them too, because usually the people that like go home and like they read a comic, they're like, well, what if we did it this way, and they write their own like like an 8-issue arc for Superman. Sometimes they can go and pitch it and actually make it, like it's fun to just
so basically play what around. We're trying to say is this is our fan fiction.
Yeah. Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Only stupid fan fiction.
Yeah,
but guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been a lot of fun. We're gonna like maybe sprinkle in a couple other what ifs. If you guys have suggestions for us, hit us up on all of our social media. Only Stupid Answers on Twitter.
Take out the vowels from stupid.
Only Stupid Answers on Instagram. You can find photos of us there, and Facebook. You can find info there, but also reddit.com/r/onlystupidanswers. But you can find all this info at onlystupidanswers.com. And as all of the places you can listen to us, but also maybe check out our Patreon, because we've been talking about that bonus episode all week.
Yeah.
And We might be rolling out some new stuff for the Patreon.
Yeah,
very
we do.
Soon.
We've got some interview stuff that is really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping you guys are really dig it.
Oh,
I'm really a fan of it.
Maybe new tiers or maybe new things.
Oh,
for
yeah.
Tiers. I'm
we're,
just saying.
We're
don't want to say what.
Yeah, because we're figuring out some pretty epic stuff that we could pull off. I think you guys would be
maybe
all about it.
Like a big project of some kind. Maybe, but nothing specific because we actually haven't talked about it fully yet. But but there's some fun stuff. So go check it out. Patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. DJ, little plug.
At DJ Talks Trash, every place that matters. I just did a video on my channel talking about what I think about the Tom Hardy Venom movie, and also updates for my comics. You guys have been talking about that. It's at the printers. It's coming in. I should be shipping those out in June.
June.
I know that's a little later than was originally planned, but we raised enough money to do a short six page. Oh, it was actually the way I was only planning on doing a 4-page black and white digital only comic, but we raised enough that now it is now a 6-page full color comic that's printed with the main 36-page story. So you're getting a better package. So that's why it's taking a little bit longer, because I wanted to give you guys something a little extra special, but soon it is coming soon. And then I'm going to do the, I want you to read it as a physical copy.
Before the digital.
Yeah. So I'm going to wait till that ships to send out the digital stuff, but I've got the pins, I've got the postcards, I've got the prints, all the little extra stuff. So once those comics get out, I'm going to sign them. We're going to pack them up and we're going to send them your way.
Very cool. And you can find me, Sam Basher, on everything that matters. I just launched my first wave of merch.
Didn't you like immediately sell out?
Yes, I did. And that was very cool. It's very limited. It's sambasher.bigcartel, sambasher.bigcartel.com.
There you go.
It's because the site is very cheap for me to use.
Yeah.
But they're very helpful. The site's very intuitive. I'm about to release another design in, I think, 2 weeks. I have a possible trip coming up, so I'm like, I'm trying to juggle all this stuff.
Yeah.
But if you guys did order,
you're a busy boy.
Busy boy. Just wanted to make sure you guys know if you did order, the order should start going out next week, but I did say it's going to probably take 2 weeks for them to be shipped. And then when they get to you, that's going to take a while because a lot of you were international. So
yeah,
that's going.
We love you international fans, by the way.
You guys are beautiful. Also, we've been talking about maybe doing live shows. So keep your spiel.
I mean,
for other stuff.
Yeah.
For don't want to spoil anything.
And also, depending on more locally.
We're not going to like Australia or anything, but that would be cool.
We could.
But
we need a little more money on our Patreon to make that happen. But
one day. Yeah. But really quick, someone did ask, the strange Eli on Snapchat said, could you say, hey, Eli, on an episode of Only Stupid Answers? And then they said to throw their money at the podcast any way of my choosing. The Patreon, please. Hey, Eli. And also, guys, if you want us to say funny stuff, maybe let us know on like social media. And
we'll see what happens.
I'll see if I can remember to see it, because I just happened to remember it at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
But anyways, final thoughts, anything you want to say?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you. Smoochies.